The Interesting Conversations with Interesting People podcast series with author Nigel Beckles.
Welcome to the podcast.
Please like the podcast and subscribe podcast. To this channel. Podcast. Thank you. The very best way to promote your podcasts. PodPage makes it easy to create a podcast website with just a few clicks. Every page is optimized to be found on Google and it stays up to date forever. For more information, visit podpage.com, the future of podcast promotion.
Have you experienced several failed relationships or been through a divorce? How can you avoid making the same mistakes again? How to avoid making the big relationship mistakes is out now.
Hi, my name is Nigel Beckles. My book is packed with practical and common sense strategies that you can use to make better relationship choices.
Now you can discover the dangerous myths about love. If your relationship expectations are realistic, why you could be falling in love for all the wrong reasons.
How to avoid making the big relationship mistakes. It's a book that could change your life.
Available from amazon.co.uk. Kindle version also available.
Author Queen P. When the mood is right, a poetry journey, mood swings, and when the mood is right, a rebirth. Books available on Amazon and all good bookstores.
Hi, I'm Queen P. Please join me by tuning into my poetry podcast, The Royal Affair, on Spotify, Apple, and all other similar platforms. You can also listen to the podcast on the Helium Radio Network on Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
You have entered into the royal affair.
Get ready for takeoff.
Welcome back to my Interesting Conversations with Interesting People podcast series. My guest for this episode is an author and also a mental health and substance abuse expert, American Richard Capriola. Hi, Richard. Welcome back to my podcast series. We had our last conversation back in April 2021. So how have you been doing?
Hey, Nigel. It's good. Good to see you again and to be here with you. I've been doing great, just out there talking to people about adolescent substance abuse and my book for parents and just trying to reach out to as many people as I can with the help of people like yourself.
Well, this is your second time back with me, which I'm very grateful for. So for our listeners who are not familiar with your work, what do you do and how did you become involved with your field of work?
Well, I had a long career in education, and then as I retired from education administration, I moved over into mental health and then substance abuse. And I worked for over a decade at Menninger Clinic in Houston, Texas, which is a large psychiatric hospital, where I treated both adolescents and adults diagnosed with mental health and substance abuse disorders. I was hired as an addictions counselor, so my work focused on helping them with their substance abuse disorders. And then after I retired from Menninger Clinic, I wrote my book, The Addicted Child, A Parent's Guide for Adolescent Substance Abuse. Kept it to about 100 pages because parents are busy. They don't have time to read volumes of information on this. But I wanted it to be a resource that hopefully would help parents feel a little bit more confident about this topic that can be somewhat scary for them, to learn how drugs work in the teenage brain, what the warning signs are that parents should know, what different treatment options are, how drugs work in the teenage brain, and just give them a lot of information that I hope they would find to be useful and valuable.
So what do you think the difference is between adult and teenager addiction?
I think there's two important ones. The first one is the neuroscience, the brain development. The adult brain, once we get past age 24, 25, is pretty much fully developed. But the adolescent brain is in the process of maturing and developing and is therefore much more vulnerable to being harmed by any illicit substance, whether it's alcohol or marijuana or any other drug. So the first big difference is in brain development, with the adult brain being fully developed, the adolescent brain in the process of growing, maturing, and becoming developed. So therefore is more at risk of damage from any type of alcohol or drug use. The second difference is in terms of consequences. Adults who have become addicted many times, unfortunately, have faced catastrophic consequences as a result of their addiction. They might have lost their job. They might have lost their marriage, their family. They might have been incarcerated. So these are not minor consequences. Many times these are catastrophic consequences as a result of an adult addiction. Adolescent, on the other hand, they face very few consequences. Their biggest consequence is their parents yelling at them or restricting them, but nowhere near the type of severe consequences that an adult faces as someone who is captured by an addiction.
Well, according to some research you sent me recently, every week in America, about 22 young people die of a drug overdose.
Yeah.
80% of those deaths are linked to fentanyl. I hope I'm saying that right.
Yes.
I've heard of that drug, but what exactly is fentanyl?
Fentanyl is a very, very powerful opiate, much more powerful than say, heroin, and therefore more deadly. And unfortunately, it is becoming more and more serious problem, particularly among the adult population, but it is filtering into the adolescent population. So it's a very powerful, potentially deadly opiate. And the danger for many people, especially adolescents, is that this drug, even in small quantities, can become deadly. And unfortunately, it's often hidden within other drugs that teenagers seek out on the street, like Adderall and Xanax and some of these other drugs that teenagers often are attracted to. So they end up taking these drugs. They might think they're taking a Xanax pill, for example, or an Adderall pill that they got off the street, not knowing that it's laced with fentanyl. And then, unfortunately, they run the risk of overdosing from the fentanyl. So the danger for many adolescents is if they're buying a drug off the street, there is the potential that it could be laced with a more deadly drug like fentanyl, which is very powerful.
So what is Xanax?
Well, Xanax is a prescription drug. It is often used to help people with their anxiety, and it is commonly prescribed. Millions of people use it, and they use it appropriately, and it does help with the condition. But the thing is, as with all prescription medications, they should be taken under the supervision of a doctor, and they should be taken as prescribed. But unfortunately, many of these drugs are available off the street, too. And that makes them accessible to teenagers and adults who want the drug without a prescription. And unfortunately, many times these drugs are not as pure as what you would get from a pharmacy where it's prescribed and regulated. It comes off the street and it could be tainted with anything.
Well, you're in the United States. So how is fentanyl and these other fake drugs getting into the country?
A lot of it is being smuggled in across the border, through the cartels and through illegal means. It's coming in rather large quantities across our borders. And then once it gets across the border, it's distributed throughout the United States, just like heroin or any other opiate or even marijuana. Many of these illicit drugs come from outside of the country and are smuggled in and then distributed throughout the country through illicit channels.
So how does fentanyl make a user feel?
Well, generally, it'll give them a feeling of what's called like euphoria, elation, an elevated mood, you know, so they do get a positive feeling from it. And that's why people take drugs to begin with many times. They want to get rid of an uncomfortable feeling. They want to feel high. They want to feel happy and high. And many of these drugs give the person that feeling. The problem with fentanyl, though, is that even at very small doses, while it may give you that initial feeling, it can also become very deadly. And you can overdose on it fairly easy with even a small quantity of it. And when you're buying these drugs off the street, you have no idea how much of that fentanyl is in a pill that you're taking. And if you have a very low tolerance, it doesn't take much for you to overdose and have some really serious consequences.
So what other drugs are popular with teenagers?
Well, drugs like marijuana, nicotine, tobacco, alcohol, those are the ones that have become always been very common among teenagers. They're attracted to alcohol, they're attracted to marijuana and to nicotine through mostly through vaping now. I think, teenagers are doing less and less smoking of cigarettes, and they've switched to vaping nicotine, which gives them a higher concentration of nicotine. So alcohol, marijuana, and nicotine and vaping. Vaping is becoming very popular with teenagers now, whether it's vaping marijuana or vaping nicotine.
So, are there any dangers associated with vaping?
There are, number one, you're getting higher concentrations of the drug when you vape it. For example, when you are vaping nicotine, you're getting higher concentrations of nicotine than if you were to smoke a cigar or a cigarette. It doesn't have all the carcinogens that a cigarette would have in it because you're getting pure nicotine, but you're getting higher concentrations of nicotine, which means much more quickly you can become addicted. But it also has an effect on the respiratory system too, because you're inhaling these things into your lungs. So it has many of the same negative effects potentially that smoking would have. But the big difference is that you're getting higher concentrations of nicotine and marijuana when you're vaping it.
So I'm just thinking about vaping. Are the dangers of vaping worse for a teenager than they would be for an adult?
In the sense that, once again, we get back to the neuroscience of it and that the teenage brain is not fully developed. So when you're taking a drug, one way or the other, it's going to hit the brain. It's going to get through your system and it's going to get to the brain where it does its work. And obviously, if that brain is very immature, if it's in the process of developing, you run the risk of doing more damage than, say, if it was an adult whose brain is fully developed. Still can do damage in an adult brain, but much more likely to run the risk of more damage in an adolescent brain because that brain is still maturing and developing.
So, how does drug and substance abuse impact a young person's mental health?
Unfortunately, many adolescents, young people who are taking a substance are taking it to medicate an underlying mental health issue. Not all kids, not all of them, but I think that there's probably more that we know of than we know of. Unfortunately, many young people are struggling with a mental health issue that has not been diagnosed and treated. And some of them have found the relief from that mental health issues through a substance. For example, many of the kids that I treated, teenagers that I treated who were smoking marijuana on a regular basis, when I asked them to help me understand why they were smoking so much marijuana, the number one answer that came back was, it helps me with my anxiety. So a mental health issue like anxiety, depression, any type of trauma, any type of an emerging personality disorder, these can all produce feelings that are intolerable to the person. And when we have those intolerable thoughts or feelings or memories, we're not built to just sit with them. We want to get rid of them. And unfortunately, in too many cases, the way that people have found to get rid of them is through a substance, whether it's alcohol or marijuana or some other drug.
You say get rid of, but aren't they really masking?
Yes, it's correct. They're masking them. They're reducing how troublesome they are. They're not really getting rid of them. You're absolutely correct. But they are reducing them to the level that they're less of a problem for the person. And they're not really addressing the underlying issue, say, like anxiety.
So, as a parent, what type of warning signs or red flags should they look out for if they suspect their child is using drugs or abusing substances?
Yeah, that's an important question. It's why I put warning signs in my book. I have warning signs for a child that might be using alcohol, warning signs for a child that might be smoking marijuana. I put in warning signs for a child that might be developing an eating disorder or self-injuring themselves, because sometimes, not always, but sometimes self-injury and eating disorders can accompany a child who's using a substance. But in general, what I say to parents is, pay attention to the changes that you see in your child. You know your child better than anyone. Don't assume that the changes are just normal adolescent acting out behavior. They may very well be that, but they might also be a symptom that there's something else going on underneath the surface that, as a parent, you need to check into. examples would be a child whose grades are starting to decline, a child who used to participate in sports and no longer shows an interest in doing so, a child who used to introduce you to friends no longer does so, a child who becomes very secretive about where they've been and what they've been doing. And then obviously, if you smell any strange odors or find any drug paraphernalia, those are obvious. So those are all things that as a parent, you should pay attention to. And if you're concerned, get some professional advice and get an assessment done so that you can either rule in or rule out if there's a problem. And if there is, what's the best thing to do to get on top of that problem and get whatever treatment might be recommended by the professionals?
So, Richard, how can people contact you?
The best way is to go through the book's website, which is www.helptheaddictedchild.com, helptheaddictedchild.com. There you can review the book, The Addicted Child, A Parent's Guide to Adolescent Substance Abuse. There's a link that will take you to Amazon, where the book's available as a paperback or as a Kindle. And there's also a link where they can contact me.
Richard in Texas, the United States. Thank you very much for your time.
Very much appreciate it, Nigel. I thank you for inviting me back to the program and for taking the time to talk to me.
Please join me, author Nigel Beckles, for Interesting Conversations with Interesting People, featuring interviews with award-winning authors, relationship and life coaches, therapists, and a wide variety of people with intriguing stories to share. Interesting Conversations with Interesting People.
Please follow author Nigel Beckles' podcasts on Amazon Audible, Spotify, and all major podcasting platforms. Thanks.